Hey, happy to be in church today? Oh, it's good to be. Welcome to the most awkward Sunday of the year. This is just, and actually I left just a little bit of awkward silence there for a moment just to add to the awkwardness. This is always an interesting Sunday where it's like we're past Christmas, the Christmas decoration is still up, we're still sort of there, but we're not in the new year, and so we're sort of like I think we did a high five for New Year's in that moment, but lots of people coming in and we're saying Merry Christmas, you're like, where am I, what am I doing, what am I supposed to be up to today? It's just awesome to have you. I'm glad you made it out. Maybe some of you are just waking up. You've had a lot of days of sleeping, and maybe it's turkey, and I don't know what you've been eating. I find over the Christmas season, it just feels like I say no to no food. And then I just like, I can't remember the last time I was hungry. So I'm just like full all the time. So maybe the week of prayer and fasting will do some of us some good coming up soon. But I'm just glad you made it. I'm glad you made it out to church. And often this Sunday is people who are pretty serious about this community and about being part of this are out and with us. And it's so good to see a lot of you here. And it's just amazing. We had a special Christmas. And to think about Christmas Eve, so I think it was 818 people here in Courtney that we had through on Christmas Eve. Isn't that special? Isn't that amazing to have that? Come on, that's awesome. And that's not to mention what we also had in Port Alberni as they were doing their very first Christmas Eve service. We had our very first Northgate Christmas Eve service in Port Alberni. And so it's fun what's going on as a church. It's exciting times. And this maybe most awkward Sunday of the year is also one that's kind of special, near and dear to my heart, actually. One reason is because last year, I don't know if you were here last year at this time, in that Sunday between Christmas and New Year's, last year we were wrapping up a kitchen project. And we had this vision for a kitchen. We had a vision. If you're new here this year, you wouldn't know that. But we have a beautiful kitchen down the hall. We get to serve 80 to 100 people every week. Food. Every Saturday, we feed them food and we care for them. And we have an amazing kitchen now to do that in. In fact, I don't know if you know this, but one of the reasons why we did it is that the health authority had some concerns about some of the outdated things. And not long ago, we had the health inspector do a surprise visit and wrote excellent on our sheet. That's a great news for us. That's awesome. But as we've, that was on the radar last year, and if you weren't part of 2018 with us, in March I announced that we were going to be doing a $100,000 kitchen project. In June we started a $350,000 kitchen project. And in December, we still owed $120,000 on that kitchen project. And in January, we owed $0 on that kitchen project because we were done. $120,000 came in this Sunday last year. And that's just an amazing, amazing thing. And I'm so glad and so thankful to be that's part of our faith story now. But also last year, not last year, but also in this awkward Sunday, Kendall and I were on vacation 5 years ago visiting our family here in the Comox Valley. And part of that vacation was also that my very first sermon was going to be here on December 28th, 2014. So 5 years ago was my very first sermon here. People didn't know that I was going to be on staff yet. I didn't know if I'd be on staff yet. The president of Foursquare was here. We were sort of seeing how that fit. And I spoke. I remember talking to someone in the lobby, and they said, "Hey, you can tell me, are you going to be the new pastor?" And I'm like, I don't know. Would you like that, though? I was just wondering. She said, I think you are, and I think you're going to be good. And I said, well, we'll see. We went out for lunch that day, and the president of Foursquare said, we think you're the fit. We'll expect an offer letter in the mail in the coming week. And the rest is history. March 8th, we started here. And so 5 years ago, this Sunday was the very first time that Kendall and I were in this church for a Sunday, and I was speaking. And it's been a special journey in those 5 years since. And so thanks for making it a special journey and getting to do this together. It's just awesome that we get to build something special together. And so often at this time of year, we're looking towards what's coming next year. We're often sort of thinking about what does 2020 look like for us, and what are we thinking is going to happen? What's going to take place? God, what are you leading us into? Especially in church ministry, I want to always be leading a church that's looking forward and saying, God, do you have something more? Do you have something next? Do you have something greater? We are always believing that our best days are not behind us, but are in front of us. The greatest is before us and not behind us. And so what are you wanting to do? Often you're doing that in your own life, maybe. You're thinking, God, what do you want me to do? Or maybe you've got eating plans or working out plans or spending plans or budget plans or whatever you might have. Maybe it's personal devotion plans. Whatever you have, often at this time of year, we're thinking about next year. And when we think about next year, often to build towards next year, we think about what has happened in the past. And so part of me thinking back to 5 years ago, us coming on and on staff here, it also makes me think of what has happened since. God, if you're taking us into 2020, what can we expect based on what we've seen thus far? And so in 2015, we came on and started at the church. In 2016, less than a year later, we added a second service to this church. The church was growing enough that we felt the press that we had to add a second service 1 year in. And I remember when we first came to the church, my wife and I had come from a church that had four services on a Sunday. And when we came and there was only one, we were like, praise the Lord, hallelujah. It's going to be awesome. I'm picturing naps, I'm picturing lunch, carrying on till like 10 p.m. and then I just go to bed. This is going to be amazing. And only 11 months later, we start our second service. We're like, oh, it's okay. They're still both in the morning, so that's all right. No problem. So that was 2016. 2017, we started an internship. Pastor Daniel came on staff, and we started running with an internship at that point. We've seen leaders developed out of that. In fact, right now, we have third-year interns even on staff with us here because that internship started. So that's amazing what God did in 2017. 2018 is the kitchen project that we just talked about, but it's also when we started our third service. So we were feeling the press on two services at that point, and so then we said, well, I guess it's time to go to a third. That was a huge step for us because my naps and my lunch that turned into evening changed forever. And also just because that was a stretching point for our volunteers. It was a stretching point for our teams. It was a stretching point for everything. Going from two services back-to-back in the morning to now three services with a big break in the middle and one's in the evening. That was a big shift. But we felt, one, we were filling up too much that we needed to do something. And two, we felt like we wanted to open up to a new group of people, maybe people who couldn't attend in the morning. And so we started that. So 2015, we came to the church. 2016, added a second service. 2017, started an internship. 2018, kitchen project and third service. In 2019, we started a Port Alberni campus. Isn't that awesome? And so God has given us some things. You know, God has moved in some really special ways. God has grown some things in some really incredible ways. And I've loved being part of the ride. I've loved allowing Him to do what He is doing and shaping us. And so then what is 2020? You know, what do we start to look forward to in 2020? And just so you know, I don't have a lot of details for you. And just so you know also, I never had a lot of details for any of those things before they happened either. God doesn't lead me with details. He leads me with vision, passion, and faith. God puts things in my heart and says, I want you to move towards this, Evan. I'll tell you, sometimes it's been messy. Sometimes it's my fault. Sometimes it's His. And I take I usually let Him take the blame for what's His, and then just try to push the blame for what's mine onto Him. But sometimes it's messy. We don't know how it's supposed to land, and we just sort of step out and try to fly. And my kids and I, by the way, right now we watch this. My kids love watching these animal shows at nighttime. And there's this one where these geese, if you've ever seen this, you might cry, you might laugh, I don't know. But there's these geese that they do their nests up in these cliffs. But when the babies are born, they need grass right away. And the mom can't feed them. And the grass is way down that cliff and way over there. You can see the grass way over there. And so they have to get out of the nest as soon as they can. So the goose just goes and flies down. It's like, wah, 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 and starts calling to the goslings. And then you see them step out on the edge. And you're like, those wings are way too small to hold that body. This can't go well. And they're like, wee. And they just jump out. And you see them fall. If you've ever seen this, you know what's about to happen. Because then the next thing you see is them just smoke the rocks and flip. Like, now some of you are like, why are we talking about this? And they flip and roll, and some of them don't make it. And then some of them do, but that's how every single one starts their life. And they say, okay, come on, away we go. Mama's like, goes and checks. Like, the kids and I watched one, and there's three goslings. The first one falls, lands, a crow comes, the goose tries to protect it, the crow takes it and flies it away. And my kids are like, is it gone? I'm like, yeah, it's gone. Oh, maybe it's just on a trip, but we'll see. The next one doesn't make the fall, like, it doesn't live, and then the next one lives, and all the kids are like, yeah! It's like time to go to bed. They're like, that one lived. Like, yeah, I lived. Like, so. Anyway, sometimes that's the plans that God gives to us. Like, hey, jump out, see how it goes. You know. Anyways, I didn't speak about that one in the first service. That was all Holy Spirit driven in this one. Sometimes it's messy, and you never know where it's going to land, and you're not sure what's exactly going to happen and what's going to take place. But we know that we serve a good God who's going to be with us when we get there. And he's going to be calling us into the places that we wouldn't go if he didn't call us into those places. And so I believe God will continually always be calling us into new spaces. In fact, my heart and my dream, just so you know, this is something loosely in my heart right now. I hope somewhere in 2020 that God will show me the place and the person to plant our next campus in 2021. That's my heart. I'm praying, God, reveal the place, reveal the person that's doing this, and we want to go towards it. But God has laid a word on my heart this year for 2020, and I haven't felt a word come to me like this before. In fact, Kendall used to get to go to these word parties, you know, like, oh, come to our 2018, your 2018 year word party, whatever it's called. Is that what it's called? I don't know. Your word, it's a brunch, okay, yeah. So anyways, they go and they have like yummy food and yummy, like, do all these things. Like, what's your word? It's like, oh, beauty, you know, whatever it is. I was always a bit jealous and sour at home, so I'm like, what? Why don't I have my guy friends over and we talk about our word? But we never did, and they always just get together and talk about their word, and I never had a word. I never knew what my word was. I'm like, I don't know, like, live and do something. And so now I feel like God gave me a word for 2020. I'm loving that he gave me one. It's been something that keeps rolling around in my heart and my head, and the word is culture. And I keep feeling like God is calling me as the leader of this church to be building a culture within this church. And I've been asking him, like, what does that look like, Lord? Does that look like not moving forward? Like, I look back at what's happened. Is that add a second service, start an internship, third service, and kitchen project, Port Alberni campus? Does it mean not doing that, or what are you looking to do? And the phrase that's gone along with my word has over and over, it's been, culture takes time. Culture takes time. Culture takes time. And I feel like God is speaking to me about that in two ways. One, culture just takes a while. It's going to take a while before we get to the culture that we want, before we land in the culture that we want, before we've got the culture we want. But the second way that time also speaks to that is it's going to take some time, some investment. It's going to take, we can't just run a church with a mission and plow some things forward and not take the time to look at how each other's doing, to care for one another. And for us to be able to do that, it's going to take all of our time to pour into something like that. That God wants to develop a culture here, not just a mission, but a culture, not just a reach everyone else, but do something here with us, with who we are. Culture's valuable thing. And sometimes it's the intangibles that you wouldn't recognize, you wouldn't necessarily plan for, that really create the culture of a moment. Often when I go for a Christmas dinner at my family's house, at Kendall's family's house, we often go over there, and I find that the greatest culture-building moments for those is not around the dinner table. We all come around a dinner table, and we've all worked for this moment. You know, we've got the turkey, we've got the gravy, we've got the buns, we've got the broccoli, which is always a favorite. We've got all the stuff. It's all there. We've worked hard for this. We poured in time for this. Now we can do the thing, and the thing is dinner. And we eat dinner. Yay! Awesome! And then now we clean up all of the dinner. And I would say that though the event is dinner, the culture is built in the making of the food and the cleaning up of the food. You feel like you build the connection more with the people that you cooked with and cleaned with than the people you sat around the table with. And that's what culture looks like within a church. In a church, we're going to accomplish a lot of things. We're going to do a lot of things. But it's probably not the doing that actually builds the culture. It's probably not the doing that actually builds your heart. It's the when you've done something with someone, and then the lead up and the post, the cleanup, the setup, the all of that getting to the point, getting to the thing. In fact, I think of Christmas Eve service. And when I consider Christmas Eve service, it wasn't the services for me that are culture. The services are events, they're productions, they're moments that potentially the Holy Spirit used those moments to touch some lives. In fact, there might be people in this room because they came to a Christmas Eve service. Maybe you're here. But for me, it happens when I'm cleaning up with people after that this is where the culture of our church is. This is where the potential for relationship to really grow is. Relationship doesn't grow in pews. It grows when we serve together, when we care for one another, when we hear about each other's hearts, and when we look after each other. And so culture is something that we need in the church, not just mission, not just accomplishment, but culture. A while back, I heard about this concept that a lot of people who went to war in Vietnam came back with a lot more psychological challenges than people that came back from any other war previously, at least to United States and Canada. And so they looked at there's a whole bunch of factors to why that would have been and what took place and why it looked different for them and not them. But one of the big factors that was talked about in this particular instance was the idea that up until that point, almost all people had been transported to a foreign nation for war by boat and returned by boat. But Vietnam, they were transferred by plane and came back by plane. And so they said the shorter transport time actually was what kept those people psychologically damaged because they were so quickly back to a group of people that didn't understand what they had faced, tried to help them but couldn't cope with them. They didn't process properly. They didn't work through their things properly. They didn't mourn with people who understood their mourning. They didn't celebrate with those who understood their celebration. And so they just rushed back into a culture that wasn't couldn't understand their mission, and so they didn't process. Where when people came back on the boats, they'd grieve together, they'd cry together, they'd consider these things together, and they were with the people that they went to war with, they were with the people that they built with, that they tried things with, that they experienced things with, that they were overwhelmed with, and yet here they were in that moment processing that all together. Culture in that point didn't take away the fact that they served a mission. In fact, the mission was what the culture came out of. But the culture was what supported the person within that mission, supported the people within that mission. When we're building church, when we're pushing forward on something, when we're trying to reach this city and then Port Alberni and then who knows where next, this all of Vancouver Island for Jesus, when we're doing that together, I can tell you 100% that it will be tiring, it will be overwhelming, it will be difficult, I will get worn out, sometimes I'll get a little snippy. Not too bad, right? Not too bad. So we all get a little bit of something. You know, that's how it is when you're building something. And yet the culture comes along and says, you don't need to stop doing the mission to grow together, but you do need to start to recognize where you need to take time within the mission to build culture. Because our mission is who we build ministry for. Our culture is who we build ministry with. And for me, I want to be in a spot this year more than ever that I'm not just thinking about who are we building ministry for, but who am I building ministry with. These are the two primary pushes that I need to have as a lead pastor. I need to be thinking about the ministry that we're building for. And who are we building for? We're building for the broken, the lost, those who don't know Jesus, those who don't know the community that we have, those who don't know their Savior, those who are hurting. That's who we're building for. We're going to build something so that those people can be cared for and introduced to our Jesus who changes lives. And the flip side of that, though, is there are going to be people who come alongside me and serve with me and believe with me and hold on to that vision with with me. And when we go from one to two services, they're going to be with me in that transition. They're going to feel the stretch. When we go from two to three services, they're going to be with me and they're going to feel that stretch. And so I don't want to just say, well, just put that aside. Don't worry. Let's think about the people that we're doing ministry for. I want to think about those people who are stretching and say, how can we create a culture that allows you to enjoy and feel life from this stretch instead of feel burnt out from this stretch? And so that's my heart. That's what I feel like what God is building in me for this year. And I want to talk to you a little bit about where God is going to lead us and what I hope that I believe He has for you in this process. For me, here's the three culture things that I'm looking to really work on in 2020. First one is I want to grow the team. One of the quickest ways that I can help add team and add time and add margin to our team right now is by growing it. The reality is we've over tripled as a church in the last 5 years. We have not over tripled in team. And what does that mean? It means that fewer are carrying more. It means that maybe the same number, sometimes even less, depending on the team, are carrying a broader vision, are carrying more people's concerns, are carrying bigger burdens, are carrying bigger things. That is not a sustainable ministry. Culture is what would make that sustainable. So if I were to say to someone, hey, would you come over? There are many times we as a leadership team, we talk about, oh, we want to have a team gathering. We want to like invest in them and you know, get donuts and coffee and care for them and love them and whatever. Get some food, laugh together, do this. And often when we're talking as a team, like, they're just already giving everything. And so even operating as an appreciation, doing appreciation things, it's like, oh, everyone's told us that they don't have time for that. They can't do that. It's not an ability. So we can't even create culture because everyone's so booked up, spent, overdone. And part of that's our own schedule. But part of it is that the church has grown. The mission is there. And we haven't grown as a team enough to create the margin we need for culture to thrive and sustain us within this time. And so one of the greatest things that we're going to be pushing for this year is that we're going to grow the team. The second one is we're going to structure the team. For me, we in some ways, one of the things we've tried to do is grow to become a large church structure rather than a small church structure, so that we would have more leaders empowered to run with teams and develop people and care for people and communicate with people and do all of that so that the team can feel cared for. And then the last one is that I personally am going to make time for team. That I want to be thinking about, I want to be devoting times in my meetings to be talking about team. How are we caring for team? How are we looking after them? How are we making sure that people are coming on in a healthy way, that people are exiting in a healthy way, that people are running at a sustainable pace? How are we communicating that this is going to be a busier and harder season, but don't worry, this is coming. How are we doing that? And so those are the things that I feel like I'm meant to do so that we would thrive. Because God didn't say build culture and stop doing mission. In fact, I am pretty sure God would never say that to me. I don't think I'm ever going to get up here and say, guess what? This is the year. We're never going to reach anyone. Most of you would leave the church. Because we're all part of this because we like being part of a church that has a vision to reach people. We believe we have the best message in the world. We believe we have the greatest hope out there. We believe that there's the greatest thing that anyone can have is what we have, that we can share it, that we can give it, that we can let people know about who Jesus is, about how He's changed our lives. And so I'm never going to say, let's stop that part so that we can all hold hands and sing kumbaya. I'm going to say, how is it that we can together, while we're on mission, build such a culture, give time to culture in such a way that mission isn't burning us out and wearing us out and overwhelming us, but instead mission is inspiring us and it's causing us to walk in our giftings. It's causing us to experience the Holy Spirit in new ways. It's causing us to push each other on. It's causing us to lean on each other a little bit. But all of those things are each other type of things. And the each other type of things are the things that I want to work on this year. Our mission is who we build ministry for, but our culture is who we build ministry with. Acts 2:42 to 47, I return to this so often Because this has got to be the purest form of church that we know. These guys, the people in this story, they literally walked with Jesus. Most of them walked with Jesus. They knew Jesus face to face. But also, these guys were the first to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, which Jesus actually said would be better for us than if we knew Jesus face to face. So they knew Jesus in the flesh, and then they knew His Spirit, and they were freshly walking out the mission that Jesus had personally told them to go and make disciples of all nations. So what did their culture look like? Here it is. Acts 2, 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. They is a pretty important word there. Because it wasn't that one person devoted themselves to teaching because they were like, oh, I'm pretty into the apostles' teaching. I like that thing. And someone else was, okay, well, that's good, but I'm a fellowshipper. And so I'm going to be over here fellowshipping with people. And I'll do the fellowship thing. You do the teaching part. And someone else is saying, I'm going to be breaking bread here. Boom, boom. And then they're like, okay, good. Breaking bread is happening. Prayer is in that corner. Fellowship is in that corner. And teaching is in that corner. That's awesome. No, they all did all of those collective things together. That let's all pray, let's all break bread together, let's all listen to a new teaching and spend time learning what that means, let's all gather together in fellowship and just enjoy one another together in that moment. And the next sentence says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And so here they are just gathering, meeting together, enjoying one another, breaking bread together, fellowshipping, praying. All of that is happening. And then it says in the very next sentence that everyone was amazed at the wonders, the signs and wonders. Were they amazed at their breaking of bread? Probably not. They probably weren't like, what? How did you break that so evenly? Show me. In fact, I was ripping up buns yesterday, and half of them are like in half by the time I put them in the basket. I'm like, oh, I need to go back here and learn from these guys. But, they're not like, well, look how you fellowship. Ask that question again. How are you? Wow. Like, no one's like, this is amazing. I can't believe it. Look at how they talk to each other. Look how, no, that as they met together, as they gathered and prayed and fellowshiped and broke bread and listened to teaching, as that was happening, signs and wonders started following them. They built culture, and the Holy Spirit seemed to do a new work through that culture. And as the Holy Spirit did that, people were amazed at them. Carries on, says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They were all together. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. So there was generosity. It says, every day they continued to meet together. I think I just heard that. Why saying it again? Because it's important. Together. It's just good to be together. Amazing how often when we get together, we think of, I'll get together for something. Sure, I'll get together. What are we going to do? What are we going to learn? What are we going to accomplish because of that? Because togetherness cannot be the end game. It cannot be the end result. It cannot be all that I don't want to just get together. I want to know why we're getting together. I want to know what we're trying to accomplish. No, it just says they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. We also just heard that. We just heard that they broke bread. Now we got to say it again. Why? Because it was important that they ate together. It was important that they were around the table together. It was important that they had those moments together because they were supposed to do this. They weren't just supposed to go, hey, what are we doing eating? Wait a second, let's go heal someone on the street. No, let's be normal and eat food and enjoy each other and hear how each other's day is going. And what's your greatest challenge in being a Christian right now? What are you being overwhelmed by? What is this? What is the Bible teaching you right now? Now, what is God calling you to that's overwhelming for you? What gift do you feel like God is awakening you that you haven't known before? What is happening in your heart? What's your dream? What's your passion? What's going on? Those things don't happen when we're on mission. They happen when we're together building culture. And if we don't have time for those things, then we don't have a culture. If our culture is mission, then we don't have a culture. We just have mission. But if we don't have mission, we just have culture, then culture can't become our mission either. Culture is not a mission, and mission is not a culture. Our church, I want to be leading our church in a way that we always have mission, but we do it with culture. We're always going somewhere, but we're always thinking about the one who's not here, but we're always thinking about the one who is serving with us. We're always thinking about those that we're reaching, but we're always thinking about those we're reaching with as well. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. What a novel idea. Glad and sincere hearts. You mean missional? Or just glad? Well, why were they glad first? Was someone watching? Just glad. They were just glad they were allowed to be happy. And sincere at the same time. Some of us think we can be happy, but that means we have to not be sincere. What would it be that our most sincere behavior is happiness? That when I'm being most authentic and real, it's just that I'm happy. Often when we're being most authentic and real, we're being critical, complaining, gossiping. What if our most sincere behavior was happiness? Wouldn't that be cool? It says, and they were praising God and enjoying. Hello. You know what all these people were? They were all Christians who were serving in a world that didn't believe and didn't want them to be Christians, were persecuting them against about their Christianity. Many of them were going to die for their faith. Many of them were going to be moved out of their city for their faith. Many of them were hearing stories all of the time about people who were dying for their faith and being imprisoned for their faith. Most of them knew that poverty was part of this culture. Most of them knew that they were going to have to give up everything to be part of this. And here it says they're enjoying themselves. What is that? Was the mission really that enjoyable? Probably not, but the culture was. The culture reminded them. You can imagine someone dragging themselves into the house, being like, oh, like I feel the weight of every. What, you guys have, what's that smell? Is that fresh bread? Yeast free? My favorite. This is so nice. Wait a second. What was I talking about again? Wait, what? You reminded me of who I am. Yeah, oh, and my giftings. Yeah, yeah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, yeah, yeah, Jesus. He's so special, wasn't he? Oh, so cool. Oh, it's so good to be with you guys. Hey, what have you guys been up to? Oh, and you know, all of a sudden, that's just something shifts, something changes. The mission can be tiring, and it will be tiring. You know that. If you serve on team at church, you know the mission is tiring. If you've ever tried to reach someone in a city, you know the mission is tiring. Is we're not saying that we should do things that aren't tiring. We're saying that we should have a culture that strengthens us and gives us enjoyment and passion and breathes life back into us in the midst of being tired, because the mission always should be in front of us. We should always be looking to it. We should always be after it. And yet, what does it look like to be built back up by those who are walking it with you? Worship team, you can come on up. And here it says, this is all we've heard from them so far, is that they've built a culture of hanging out and enjoying each other. And you're sort of wondering, well, what in the world are they actually accomplishing? Here it says in verse 47, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You know, one of the things that I think I can do so much better at as a pastor, I have known what it is to reach people. That's been my heart. As a church, I've known what it is to try to build something that people want to come and be a part of. And that's been awesome. One of the things I feel God is challenging me on and shaping me for is that I don't know if I've known as well as I'd like to what it is to build a culture that strengthens people for that mission. And you know, I feel like what I want to see more and more is that the people who serve on team in this church are the most happy people. The people who come into church and just sit in the pew and or the chair, comfy chair, hear the music, sit down, listen to a sermon, carry on, go home, and then invest themselves in all sorts of other things, but not here. I would want them to say, now what? Why is that person who comes 3 hours before me, stays 3 hours after me, and sticks around this whole time and puts up with volunteers who don't show up and does all, now why is that person smiling? I want to build a culture so incredibly supportive and exciting and enjoyable that people who don't serve on team start to criticize those who are on team, like, oh, you guys are always just so happy. You guys are always just so, like, pretending that the world is all fine. What? Well, like, can't be part of that. You're being fake. No, we're being sincere, and our sincerity leads us to happiness. Because when we're with one another, when we've built something together, we've established that there's joy and there's happiness and there's all of that. Well, yeah, but aren't you tired? Yes, exhausted and full of life, worn out and thrilled to do it tomorrow. Tired out from 2019 and pumped to do it even harder in 2020. So worn out from planting in Port Alberni, so excited to do it again and again and again and again until the Lord takes me home. For me as your pastor, I can tell you, I'm not going to pretend and tell you like, oh, ministry is just so easy. And I'm just like always so awake and vibrant. That's a lie. I'm not going to tell you that I don't sometimes go home and Kendall and I have to work on our communication. Because one of us has expressed an ability to serve a little more than the other. Just so you know, I'm going to be spending all that special weekend at the church. How are you? You know? These are. I'm not going to tell you that those things don't exist. Well, hey, I'm serving the Lord, so you can't get mad at me. That doesn't work. That's not how this works. That's not how this all balances out. But what happens is that we give ourselves to Jesus. And so all of a sudden, when Kendall and I sit down together, even in our own home, we sit down together and like, oh, whew, this is going to be hard. And I'm going to be tired. And it's going to be overwhelming. When are we going to take a break? And by the way, our kids need this. And we need that. And we need to get to this. And what's that going to look like? This is crazy. Are we, this is just nutty. Is this okay? And we have people in our lives too saying, you guys need to figure out how to slow this down. You need to figure out how to not do this. And for me, me sitting down with Kendall and expressing how overwhelming and challenging and difficult this season can be is sometimes the most life-giving thing that I ever experienced or she ever experiences. We together, we go, how are we going to do this? I don't know, but we're together. I don't know, but we're going after it together. I don't know, but this feels, something feels kind of good about this. Amazing how often the people who serve the most want to serve more. I can see one right there. His name's Phil. Phil and Kelty together, man, there has just been something so special that God's placed in their hearts. And they serve. Phil serves basically every week on worship, sometimes on like four instruments at once. But then when we thought, whew, that's a big load. I mean, three services for Thursday night every single week. Like, that's a lot. Are you sure you're going to be okay with this? Oh, yeah, we'll be all right. I mean, we love the church. We love being part of it. We love experiencing this. Like, okay, but are you tired? Exhausted. Are you okay? Yeah. Exhausted doesn't mean not okay in Christianity, by the way. So then when we're like, okay, we'd love to get some help with some administration on the worship team. Who are we going to look to do that? And Kelty, his wife, is like, I'll do it. We're like, you're nuts. And you're in. Let's do it. Let's go. And she's like, they love this. They love this stuff. Like, what's wrong with you? Don't you need a bit more balance in your life? What would that look like? I just think, how do you tell the Christians in the early church, hey, balance things out a little bit, guys. The old hanging out with everyone all the time, giving up all your money for each other and serving all the time, too much. The whole dying for your faith, step it back a bit. People are going to think you're weird. No, they got a mission that cost them their whole lives. and yet they were sincerely happy. This is mission and culture together. And I want to do that with you. I want to be part of that together. I want to know people who are so desperately connected to the mission of Jesus that they desperately need the community that Jesus has given us. And we desperately seek culture that carries the mission. Let me just tell you the best thing that you can do with this. You can serve on team. I'm going to invest my time in creating a culture on team that is life-giving, supportive, enjoyable, and will make you happy. Phil, are you sincerely happy? Okay, there it is. Whew. It's a close call. I'm not going to ask anyone else that question. That was nerve-wracking. Haven't done the whole culture year yet. Because Phil has to serve every single week. I think Phil will serve every single week, whether this team is 700 or whether it's 7. But it'll be more life-giving and easier to find that margin and easier to find time for culture rather than just mission and just serving if he's got some more people to do it alongside of. And so we went from one service to 3 services in just 3 years. I want you to know that our teams have not expanded to meet that need. And so I'm putting this to you as a church. If you're not serving on team right now, especially on a Sunday right now is where I'm thinking, I want you to be serving on team. I want you to think about what would it take for you to serve on team. You say, well, I'm pretty busy. So yes, you are. I know that. So am I. But I want you to consider the idea that I can't build a culture with people who aren't together. We can't build a culture of people who aren't serving together. The entire thing that brings all of us together at this point is Jesus. The only thing that brings all of us together at this point is Jesus. Some of us might like the Raptors together, and so we might watch them, but that's a very few of us. Growing number, of course. The bandwagon is growing. But we together are serving Jesus. That's what we do together. And so once we get that sorted out and we get tired out by serving Jesus, that's where culture steps in. And so we need a growing team. I'd love to see 50 to 100 people sign up for team today and say, I'm willing once a month to shake hands. That might cost you 4 hours of your month. I want you to think about how far down your priority list 4 hours a month gets. Is that like looking in the mirror? Like how far down your priority is? Is that like what is that taking out your recycling? Whatever it is, how far down the priority list gets 4 hours a month? Do you consider 4? What about 8? I'll serve twice a month. Maybe I'll serve an evening. Maybe I'm going to serve all. Maybe I've got guest services and I want to shake hands every single morning on Sunday because I want to meet people and care for them. And I want to be the sincerely happy person that they meet. I don't know what it is. But the more people that sign up, the less we need of each of you, the more culture we get to build. And then we get to dream of where we go from here on out. So let me just give you a quick picture. I know we're running tight on time today. It's not usual. So brace, hold tight. This is what it costs. This is what it means every single Sunday, what it requires to make this happen the way it happens. Worship requires 7 people at least. Today there's 9 and 10 hours from each of them between Thursday and the 3 services they run on Sunday. That's about 70 hours per week. Guest service, about 16 people for 2 hours times 3 services is 96 hours per week. Production, it costs 7 people about 10 hours, which is 70 hours per week. Kids is 13 people times 3 services, which is 2 hours per, which is 78 hours a week just to function on Sunday. That's not including me. That's not including cutting things for kids' classes. That's not including doing the video stuff midweek. It's not including running youth ministry, soup and sandwich, free store. It's not including running any of that. It costs 314 hours every single Sunday just to make this happen. That's almost 8 weeks of one person full-time work. It's almost 2 months of full-time work for one person to run that. Think of there's 2 things about that. One, isn't that amazing that every single week we put together 314 volunteer hours so that this can happen? That's amazing that that's happening every single week. But the second thing I have to say about that is, isn't it amazing that that is triple the number it was 4 years ago and we still have not even double of a team? So today, that's my one call to you. I'm going to do my best to build the culture with those who are serving the mission of Jesus Christ through Northgate. But I want to invite you to take part in it. shake hands. Maybe you play guitar. Maybe you would like to learn some sound, some technical stuff, which we have experts, literally professionals, able to teach you those things. Or maybe it's serving in kids ministry, caring for those things. Sign up today. We want you on the team. Let me pray for you. Then Pastor Brian will come on up here. Lord, thanks so much that you've given us a mission. You've also asked us to build a culture. Lord, we know that mission is going to be tiring and overwhelming and difficult at times. But Lord, thank you so much. You didn't tell us, well, then maybe we shouldn't do it. Instead, you put people around us. You put these structures around us. You put church around us. You put friends around us, and you gave us life. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that strengthens us for the work that you've called us to. God, I pray that this would be a year that we discover the time it takes to invest and see culture built up in my own life and in all the volunteers' lives. Lord, today let it be a big step forward by just allowing us to alleviate time for all those who carry the load right now, because we add today many volunteers, so that together we can be building the mission and the culture of this church. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.